morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Great to be back here with you on this Friday, January the 20th. Boy, we have a lot going on today. Of course, it is Inauguration Day, big day, so we want to remember to pray for the country and for our new president. We also have a full hour for you in store, so I hope you're going to stick around us for the entire 60 minutes. If you don't, I'm going to know it, and I'm going to come get you. No, just in all seriousness, we do have a good show for you. Shane Kapler is going to be joining us later today to talk about his new book, Marrying the Rosary to the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Now, these are two huge devotions, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the Rosary. What are they? And we're going to ask Shane about that, because not everybody knows the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Most people are familiar with the Rosary, but there might even be some confusion with the Rosary. And why do we marry the two of them together? Great new book. Shane's a great guy. We've been friends for a long time, and we're going to be having him on later in the show. We've got our usual selection of music, and also throughout the hour, I've got some inauguration trivia that I'm going to be sharing with you. Also, if that's not enough, and boy, don't you think that should be enough, Dave Parker? But we're going to we're going to give him even more. Pope Francis.
10 pounds in a 5-pound bag here.
Pope Francis recently spoke about prayer as an act of hope that leads us to God. We'll be sharing that as well. Dave, I'm going to introduce you in a second. So you are not officially here yet, but even though you are here... Let's start with our prayer.
That could be true.
Let's start with our prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this new day. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. We ask you to watch over our country as we begin a new presidency. Please let everything go well at the inauguration. Keep everyone involved safe. And please help all of our elected officials to govern by your law, and not according to their own laws. Help them to all to remember that you are ultimately in charge, and that they should govern the country by your standards. We ask you, Father, to watch over each of us today as well, our families, our friends, our co-workers. Keep us all safe, and above all, keep us close to you. I ask that you speak through me on this program and Dave, so that we can proclaim your message. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to that message. Father, we ask you to help anyone affected by any of these recent natural disasters, the earthquake in Italy, the building collapse in Iran, problems all around the world. We ask you to be with anybody who is in need, to comfort them, to strengthen them, and to always help them to remember that you are with them. We ask for all of these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
By my side, as usual, the one, the only, the fantastic Mr. David Parker.
Well, thank you, Gary. Hey, that's my intro.
That's your official intro.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah, well, thanks for the kind words, Gary. How are you this morning?
Dave, I am doing well. I'm doing well. You know, we'll do the full weather forecast, but it's next week's looking pretty good. We are in sort of a warm spell right now for January. This is not what I expected for January, but the weather is good. I had no problems getting to the studio. And in fact, here's something interesting. You know, I have a pretty long commute driving in. I have about a 60-minute commute.
Yes, you do.
We have Shane Kapler on. He's going to be talking about combining the Rosary and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I did that today, and it was really cool. It was a really new experience for me, because I get to pray a lot on the way, and it was a very interesting experience. So I'm excited to talk about that. I'm excited about our music. I'm excited about our guests.
Me too. I'm excited about Shane. I want to hear about this marrying of the Rosary and the Divine Chaplet.
Yes,
Chaplet.
And also the... next week on the program, we are going to have a visitor on the program on Wednesday.
Wow.
We will be joined by Matt Gambino, who is the editor of CatholicPhilly.com. Now, Dave, I'm telling you this because I need you to be on your best behavior. Oh. Matt is going to be visiting our show, doing a that's why I'm scared. He wants to see this show in action. You know, they're going to give us some publicity here. And I'm going to be providing, as we do when we have guests on the program, I'm going to be providing Matt with some donuts and coffee. So when there are donuts and coffee in the house, Dave, sometimes you lose control.
I know.
So just try.
You know me so well. And I have to ask, do we have to get gussied up, all spiffed up and...
Dave, yeah. You just be your usual cute self, and, okay. And everything will be fine.
Well, I clean up pretty good. I don't know about you, Gary. Do you clean up good?
I don't know. We'll see. But you always look good, Dave.
Well, thank you.
Also, so we're excited about that. And also next week on the show, Raymond Arroyo will be here, Father Frank Pavone, Father Donald Calloway, Dan Burke from the National Catholic Register. We've got a big week next week. And Friday is the March for Life, and we have some in-the-field reporters. People are going to be checking in with us live from Washington, so you don't want to miss that as well. So lots of good things coming up in the future on Spirit in the Morning. But, Dave, we got an email yesterday, and I want to share this because I thought this was very interesting.
Emails are interesting.
I like email, and I always encourage you to, exactly. And if you have any comments about the show, please send them to Gary@HolySpiritRadio.org. Mm-hmm. We got an email from Jerry C. He signs it. And, you know, we were talking yesterday about detachment from the things of the world, giving things up a little bit, you know, how we can sometimes be too focused on comfort and material things. So here's what Jerry said. Gary, to sum up what you were talking about, detachment from material things, giving up a little, I thought to myself, and this is a quote, yeah, sometimes you got to order a whiz without. So let's talk about this now. Obviously, that's a Pat Stakes reference, and for those of you who might not be listening in the Philadelphia area, and by the way, Jerry, that is hysterical. Thank you. You gave us a good laugh with that. A whiz without. Let's talk about the whole Pat Stakes thing.
And we were laughing about it.
Yeah,
it
we were. Yeah. When you order at Pat Stakes, and they're probably either Pat's or Gino's, the two most famous steak places in the city of Philadelphia, for cheesesteaks, you order, and there are instructions. And I remember, and I have not been down to Pat's for a number of years, but I remember when I used to go on a regular basis. And by the way, this email made me think that I could use a good cheesesteak one of these days. But they have instructions. Mm-hmm. They have cheese whiz on their cheesesteak. So when you order whiz with or without, with or without onions. But you don't say with or without. You say with or without. That's how you talk at Philly. And that's what the sign says.
Yes.
If you don't do that, Dave, I don't know if you ever been to Pat's?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Remember,
not for a while, but oh, yeah.
But the sign says, if you don't order that way, go to the back of the line. They're going to throw you out of the line.
Yeah, and my wife pointed that out to me.
And I've seen them do that to people, so it's legitimate. When Jerry is saying, we got to get a whiz without, and he spelled it just like that, without, that means cheese whiz without onions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's his idea of sacrificing.
I know.
No, it sounds...
And it can be for... That's a big sacrifice.
Sounds funny, Dave, but these little things that we can give up, right?
I'm just going to say that.
The cream in your coffee, the butter on your bread.
Mm-hmm.
These are little ways to fast, because sometimes the word fasting is scary. Oh, I don't want to fast because it means I can't eat. Well, no, it means you can give something up. And what you do with that, there's two reasons that you would do that. The one reason is you can unite your suffering from even the little thing, giving up the cream in your coffee, unite it with the suffering of Christ. And you can use that. And it also helps you to not become so materialistic.
Exactly.
Because we like comfort, and it takes you out of your comfort zone a little bit.
With this food reference, we love our food. And if you take something off of it, it's not so good, but I'll do it.
Right.
I'll give it up.
Little things, and there's a fancy name for that. They call that self-mortification, which means I'm going to give up something. I'm going to die to myself a little bit. Mm-hmm. But look for these opportunities, these little opportunities to offer things up and to carry your cross. A lot of times we're waiting for the big cross, but we got these little crosses each day. Yeah. Traffic jams, annoying people.
Yeah.
Being a co-host of Gary Zimak, you know, right? I mean, sometimes,
boy,
Dave, right?
You don't know
Dave,
the
you
half
got
of it.
Yeah, that's right. You got a big cross you carry every day, Dave.
Oh, man.
But anyway, that's something we really want to keep in mind.
Lord gave me big shoulders, folks.
All right, you can stop now. But Jerry, thank you for that email. That was really funny. And if you have, anybody listening, if you have any comments about the show, always feel free to send them to me, Gary@HolySpiritRadio.org. I do love hearing from you. We're going to read the gospel in just a moment. But I want to start, Dave, Inauguration Day, big thing. Let me just throw out a couple inauguration trivia facts. Mm-hmm. This Donald Trump today is going to be inaugurated as the 45th president of the U.S. There are some firsts that are coming along with this inauguration. Mm-hmm. For starters, at the age of 70, he is now the oldest president president to be elected, surpassing Ronald Reagan, and he's expected to have the most expensive inauguration in American history, which will top Barack Obama's $170 million inauguration in 2009.
Oh, I did not know that.
So that's a little piece of trivia. I'm just going to give you, I'm going to intersperse these throughout the hour, but couple of trivia facts, and I'll put a link to this at spiritinthemorning.com.
Gary, one more thing. I thought you were going to do a reference about the president elect's hair. No comment about his hair, because he gets a lot of there's a lot of press about his hair sometimes.
No comment about he's the first president with hair.
No, but it's the style of his hair.
All right, big hair.
It's huge.
That is. Frank wonders where we're going with this one. So do I.
I think Frank is. And Rob.
All right, I got to run. Management's coming. Frank Eliason is here, our director of operations. All right,
he's not going to comment on his hair. If you looked at his hair, he's losing it up there too. So we're going to get a brush over.
Hey, wait. Who are you to talk about hair?
Frank and Gary, I wasn't going to go there, Frank.
All right. Yeah. I think it's time for the gospel. What do you say, Dave?
I think it's a good idea since we're coming in on a break in a couple minutes.
Yeah, we're going to get back to the... today's a very simple gospel, but we're going to get back to that inauguration trivia. Very simple gospel today. It comes from Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 19. Jesus went up the mountain, and summoned those whom he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, whom he named apostles, that they might be with him, and he might send them forth to preach and to have authority and to drive out demons. He appointed the 12, Simon, whom he named Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, who he named Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. That's a really simple gospel. What's the message? You look at that list. Did Jesus pick the most qualified men in the eyes of the world, right, to be the leaders of his church? No way. He even picked, Dave, somebody who would betray him.
Mm-hmm.
Did that catch him by surprise that Judas betrayed him? He's God. He knew that Judas would betray him.
Yeah. That was part of the plan.
Yeah, and ultimately that betrayal resulted in our redemption. So that, you know, the Lord never wills anybody to do evil, but he allows it to happen. And this is part of the mystery that we're never going to fully grasp. But what we need to know is he can always bring good out of evil. The Lord chose some very imperfect men to lead his church. That church that has not only lasted for 2,000 years, but that church that will last until the end of time. And why did he choose these men? Because the Lord wants us to remember that with him on our side, we can do all things. The apostles, in the eyes of the world, they were not qualified to do anything. They didn't get anything that Jesus ever said, it seems. They were cowards. They did so many things wrong, but yet he chose them to lead his church. The good news is that he can use us, and today he's choosing you. He's choosing you to share his mission, right, and to share the good news with those around you. So you need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people around you today. It doesn't necessarily mean you have your Bible and your catechism ready. All it means is that you love the people around you. You'd be nice. You'd give a smile. You'd be understanding. You respect other people's point of views, right? These are the little things that we can all do to share the kingdom of God on earth. And we will have that gospel link at spiritinthemorning.com. When we come back, we got some presidential trivia, and we're going to take a look at what Pope Francis said about prayer. Don't go anywhere. Spirit in the Morning, wake up time, 7:14. We'll be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for January 20th. Today we celebrate Saint Sebastian. We know little about the life of today's saint, but we do know it was heroic. That's why the Church honors the late 3rd century martyr, who is considered the patron saint of archers, as well as physicians, soldiers, and many police associations. Though Sebastian is often depicted in art pierced with arrows, it is believed he did not die from such wounds. the Emperor Diocletian, who ordered the death of Sebastian, his crime being a Christian, was infuriated when Sebastian recovered from arrow wounds. So the emperor chose a more certain weapon. He had Sebastian clubbed to death. Devotion to the young martyr spread rapidly. He was buried in Rome on the Appian Way, probably near the present Basilica of St. Sebastian. He was also venerated as a Roman martyr in Milan, suggesting that he might have been born or educated there. The fact that many of the early saints awakened widespread devotion and great praise is proof of the heroism of their lives. The legends about St. Sebastian may not be literally true, yet they reveal the faith and courage evident in his life. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
And that was Alison Krauss in Union Station. There is a reason. Now, wait a minute. There is a reason. Dave Parker, you gave me an early cue. The song isn't over, but, right? The song isn't over,
now
but
it
now it is. Okay. This is the fun that we have with live radio here at Spirit of the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek, and you are
sorry
listening
about
to
that.
What happens with that song is it gets quiet, and then it picks up again.
Okay.
So that's what was happening there. But that's a great message. Alison Krauss, Union Station, there is a reason. There is a reason for everything that happens, even if we don't get that reason.
Usually Frank's the one, like a small delay, and this time it was my turn. Okay?
That's right. Anyway, we're excited that you're joining us today. Let me do the weather. Currently, the temperature at the Philadelphia International Airport, 33 degrees. Today's forecast, rain today mostly after 1 p.m. with a high near 46. Tonight, rain likely mainly before 7 p.m. Patchy fog between midnight and dawn. Between midnight and 4 a.m. Otherwise, it's going to be cloudy with a low around 41. Saturday, patchy fog before 10 a.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high near 57. Currently in Quakertown, it's 25 degrees. In Lansdale, it's 28 degrees. And in Delran, New Jersey, it is 30 degrees. All right, Spirit of the Morning inauguration trivia, Dave Parker. We're just going to keep the facts coming here.
Okay, I was going to say, Gary, I mean, can I go back to that little glitch? You know, dead air is deadly. Yeah, we don't
right.
want dead air,
that's
so sorry,
right.
folks.
Well, let's get right on with inauguration trivia. The first president to be sworn in Washington, D.C., I'm going to just put you on the spot. Just take a quick guess.
Sworn in or sworn at?
Sworn in Washington, D.C.
Bad joke. Washington.
No, it was actually Thomas Jefferson in 1801. The first inaugural parade was also held in 1801 at Thomas Jefferson's inauguration. The first inaugural ball was held for James Madison in 1809. Now, Dave, listen to this. Ticket prices,
$4. $4?
Wow. That's a good deal.
It is.
The first president to be sworn in on January the 20th, as mandated by the 20th Amendment, was Franklin Roosevelt during his second inauguration in 1937.
One of the networks had some of this on yesterday,
oh, yeah.
and I had heard that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The inauguration of James Buchanan in 1857 was the first inauguration to be photographed.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The first, or let's see, I'm going to test you on this one. This is a radio question, so maybe you want to take a guess on this one. The first inaugural address to be broadcast on public radio.
Was it Roosevelt's?
It's actually Calvin Coolidge in 1925.
Oh.
Now, let's stick with the media. How about the first inauguration to be televised? Any idea on that one?
Harry Truman.
You are correct. Dave, sorry.
They covered that one too, folks, I got to say. I just saw that yesterday.
1949.
That was good.
Harry Truman's. We got some more of those facts. We'll intersperse those. That's
okay,
a good word.
That's a good word.
Throughout
good
the day.
Word.
I'm sticking around you. I'm starting to learn. I'm starting to learn how to speak better.
Okay. Speak Midwest.
Okay. Pope Francis recently talked about prayer being an act of hope that leads us to God. And I just want to highlight some of these the messages. And this came at his weekly audience, and I will link this at spiritinthemorning.com. But Pope Francis, in his Wednesday audience, said that hope in salvation is what leads us to turn to the Lord in prayer, trusting in faith, especially in moments when we are faced with the fear generated by death or injury.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a direct quote from our Holy Father: prayer brings you forward in hope. And when things get dark, there needs to be more prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Then there will be more hope.
Yes.
Isn't that good, Dave?
Oh, amen. Absolutely.
And that's what we need to remember. When things look bleak in our life and we have uncertainty, and look, there's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. There's probably a lot of uncertainty in your life. And you can lose hope. It's possible for that to happen, for you to feel hopeless. Prayer is going to rejuvenate that hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to help you to remember that, the Lord is in charge, and that he loves me, and that he can take care of me. And as that song, the message of that song we just played says, there's a reason. So even though we might not understand the reason for everything that happens in our life, the closer we get to God, the more willing we are to accept that. And the Holy Father highlighted the story of Jonah in the Bible. And by the way, if you've never read the book of Jonah, it's a very short book. It's an incredible story. And he said that Jonah, through his obedience, but it took a little while for Jonah to become obedient, even if it came after he initially tried to run away from God's request, his ultimate obedience helped to bring people to God through prayer. Now, if you recall the story, Jonah's in the boat. They're having some problems, and the ship is in danger of sinking. And the captain of the ship woke Jonah up, and he pleaded with him to pray to his God to save their lives. Now, remember, we got a lot of pagans on board. They're all praying to their own pagan gods. But Jonah prays to his God, right, which is the real God, our God. And the Holy Father mentions that right before death, the reactions of these pagans, people who didn't believe in God, their instinctive reaction is to pray, to reach out for help. And he says the instinctive horror of dying reveals for the need for hope in the God of life. And then in the article, we're told that too often and too easily we don't turn to God when we are in need. This is paraphrasing the words of Pope Francis, because we are worried it will just be a prayer based on self-interest. Right? So sometimes we think, well, you know what, I kind of feel guilty praying about this because I've forgotten God so many times. But our Holy Father says, God knows our weakness. He knows that we remember him for help. And with the indulgent smile of a father, he responds graciously. And this is one of the things that I have learned as an anxious person by nature. I've learned to reach out to the Lord in my anxiety. And when I go out and speak about this, I always say, don't hesitate. Don't feel bad about turning to God when you need something. Because a lot of times, that's the only time that we remember him. Now, ultimately, we want to get beyond that. But he's not going to hold it against you and say, well, you never remembered me any other time. You're praying to me now in desperate need. I'm not going to help you. He is going to help you. And sometimes he allows things to happen in our lives so that we remember him. Some of these things might not be pleasant. But, you know, he knows us. He gets us. He realizes that we forget about him sometimes. And he allows things to happen to remind us. So I thought this is a really good article. And it emphasizes the importance of turning to the Lord in prayer, especially when things look bleak in your life. And again, we don't want to stay there. We want to progress to the point where we're talking to him all the time. But it often starts with turning to him in times of need. So make sure you do that today. We will have that article link at spiritinthemorning.com. When we come back, Shane Kapler is going to teach us how to marry the rosary to the Divine Mercy Chapel. You don't want to miss this. We'll be right back.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. This afternoon, Donald Trump will be sworn in as the nation's 45th president. In keeping with tradition, the president-elect is spending the night in Blair House. Earlier in the evening, Trump attended a concert with his family and after told supporters on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial that he'll unify the country and make it better for everyone. Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York will be among the religious leaders participating in today's inaugural ceremony. He'll read a passage from Wisdom Chapter 9, in which King Solomon prays for wisdom in leading Israel according to God's will. The Catholic News Service reports that Cardinal Dolan has about a minute to read the passage. He said, quote, "That's more than enough. I've timed it." Rescue crews at a remote Italian mountain resort flattened by yesterday's huge avalanche are continuing the painstaking search for some 30 people trapped inside. Italy's Civil Protection Agency says the search continued throughout the night with searchlights and would accelerate with the arrival of daylight. Meanwhile, rescue teams in Iran's capital of Tehran have been working overnight to try to reach trapped firefighters and other victims after a commercial building caught fire and collapsed yesterday. At least 30 firefighters were killed. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by the Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition. Their mission is to provide financial support to area crisis pregnancy homes and centers and educate the community regarding sanctity of life issues from conception until natural death.
You're You're listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes. Thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Dr. Andrea Smith is a prosthodontist in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, who does facial restorations for cancer patients. She also works on children born with cleft lips and palates, giving them the chance to live a normal life. As reported by Columbia Magazine, Dr. Smith pursued this career because it allowed her to combine her interests in arts and engineering to solve socially limiting health problems. She said, "I find it very satisfying to make something like teeth fit a person's face, to be able to find a unique solution to a problem." And, as a highly trained professional, she enjoys saying to patients, "When all hope is lost, come to me. I'll find a way to fix you." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Time for letting go, all of our follies, 'cause we don't have a time machine, and even if we did, would we really?
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was The Miracle of the Moment by Stephen Curtis Chapman. What's the reminder that we get from that song? The reminder is that this present moment is all we have. Let's make the most of it. Your time right now, 7:35 on Spirit of the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak, along with my co-host Dave Parker. We are coming to you on this inauguration day from our Doylestown studios just outside of Philadelphia. Now it's guest time. I always love when we bring our guests on. Shane Kaplan, for the past 30 years, Shane has been involved in evangelism and catechesis in the Archdiocese of St. Louis. He's coordinated programs for the RCIA program and ongoing faith formation, as well as serving on the core teams of both a youth prayer group and Life Teen program. Shane is also the author of several books, including Marrying the Rosary to the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the book we're going to talk about today, the Epistle to the Hebrews, and the Seven Core Beliefs of Catholics, Through, With, and In Him, the Prayer Life of Jesus, and How to Make It Our Own, and many other books. He's a regular on Catholic radio. He has been on EWTN television as well. Shane comes to us from the St. Louis area, and you know what? I am doubly excited because Shane and I have been online friends for a long time, and now I get to talk to him on this program. Good morning, Shane. Welcome to the program, brother.
Good morning, Gary. Man, it is a treat to talk to you.
Yeah, man, this is great, isn't it? We get to chat finally.
Yes.
Shane, I love the book, and here's the deal. We're going to talk about this book, Marrying the Rosary to the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I put this into practice. I've got a pretty long commute coming to the station in the morning. I did this morning. I prayed my rosary and intermixed it with the chaplet, and it was really cool. I really got something out of it. So thank you for writing this book.
Oh, man, you are most welcome. You know, Gary, it was the same experience for me. I just happened to be praying one day, and I started interspersing decades of the rosary and the chaplet, and the way that started, the chaplet started influencing my rosary meditation, showing the cross's connection to every part of our Lord's life from the moment of the Annunciation forward.
Yeah.
And then when it came to praying the chaplet, right after that meditation in the rosary, I found myself really bringing the Blessed Mother with me into the praying of the chaplet.
Wow.
And the two of us petitioning God through the Lord Jesus for the graces, the mercies we've just been meditating upon in that decade of the rosary. So the two really, they influence each other in beautiful ways.
Yeah, Shane, let's back up a little bit and talk about this, because not everybody listening may fully understand the rosary or the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Now, on Monday, we're going to have Father Donald Calloway on the program. He's going to talk about the rosary extensively. And incidentally, Father Calloway wrote the introduction to your book, which is really cool, and I like that. But let's just briefly, for somebody who may say, all right, why do I really need to pray the rosary, and what the heck is the Divine Mercy Chaplet? Could you basically just very generally explain each of those devotions?
Sure. The rosary is basically, we do in the rosary what the apostles did in those 9 days between Jesus' ascension and Pentecost.
Mm.
We meditate upon the life of Christ as it comes to us in Scripture in the company of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So we are joining with Mary in prayer, and as we pray the Hail Marys, which the very words of Scripture from Luke chapter 1, we are meditating upon the events of Jesus' life that we have just read about in Scripture. So it's scriptural meditation, first and foremost. In the Divine Mercy Chaplet, God has called us in this most trying time to place ourselves at the foot of Jesus' cross, which is the source of all the graces that come to us, and to petition the Father through Christ crucified for his mercy to be poured out upon us personally and upon all our brothers and sisters throughout the world. Those in a nutshell are those two devotions, I believe.
Right, and you know what I think is really neat about that, Shane? The fact that, and this is the way when I was praying it today, and I want to get into more specifics about the book, because I think you do a phenomenal job, especially when you talk about the various mysteries of the rosary. You have some meditations in the book that come from your personal experience in prayer, which I think is very powerful. But you know what? You know what really tied the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and the Rosary together for me today when I was praying? When I prayed the Fatima prayer at the end of each decade, Oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those most in need of thy mercy. And I think right at that point when I launched into the decade of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, it was really a powerful union of the two of them.
I agree with you. I think it's beautiful the way that Fatima prayer really leads right into the chaplet. Mm-hmm. And Gary, another thing that caught me too is when we come to the end of the rosary and we pray the Hail Holy Queen, Hail Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy. I mean, it's right there. It's like these two prayers were meant to come together.
Yeah. Yeah. Shane, you know what? One of the dangers, and I've struggled with this in my own life, that we can sometimes run into the booby traps, if you will, when we pray the rosary. And the same thing goes for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And incidentally, it's possible that somebody doesn't know about the chaplet. Certainly the rosary, most people know that you pray it on rosary beads. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy is also prayed on the same beads. I'll put a link to some instructions on how to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, as well as the rosary. I'll put a link to that on spiritinthemorning.com. But Shane, one of the dangers that we can sometimes, the traps that we can fall into is that, okay, these prayers, the rosary, the chaplet, I just pray these prayers and something magical will happen. But it's not that at all. It really is a relationship and an encounter with the Lord when we're praying these formal prayers, if you will. Could you talk a little bit about that and how prayer is not just, well, I need to say this, this, and this, and then check it off the box, but it's an encounter with the Lord.
Oh, Gary, that's such an important point to make to people. And you're right. I mean, every single one of us, I mean, when we're doing a prayer such as the rosary that does have elements that are repeated in the prayer, you know, we do have to constantly check ourselves to make sure that we're putting our heart into the praying. Take something like the Our Father. I mean, earlier in my life, when I first had that experience of really realizing my call to be a disciple, realizing I could have a personal relationship with Jesus, the Our Father that I'd grown up memorizing, I didn't realize the power it had because I'd been saying it all my life as just something memorized. It's just words. But as the Lord Jesus opened up to me the words of this prayer, what they really mean, I realized that all of my spontaneous prayers that I was praying that were very heartfelt, all of that was already contained within the Our Father and much more.
Right.
So, I mean, these traditional prayers that come to us, they're deep. They're conduits of grace, but we've got to be willing to really plug into them, to say these words slowly and to reawaken ourselves to what they really mean, because they're inspired words, the words of the Our Father, the words of the Hail Mary, the Glory Be. These are speech of the Holy Spirit.
Right, and what happens, and this is what I've seen in my spiritual life, has pretty much mirrored what you're saying in that I've memorized these prayers for years, and a lot of times I just prayed them without thinking about them, but as your relationship with the Lord grows, you suddenly begin to look at these words, and they take on new meaning, and you realize, hey, this is powerful. When Jesus was asked, Lord, teach us to pray, he gave us the words to the Lord's Prayer. I would think that's a pretty good prayer to pray, right? I mean, that's a powerful prayer if it comes directly from Jesus. Yeah, and what I like also in the book is for each of the mysteries of the rosary, and you cover the joyful, the sorrowful, the luminous, and the glorious mysteries, for each decade of the rosary, you have a meditation. I think that's great because I don't think you can have enough of these meditations around. This really helped me, Shane. You did a great job really helping to flesh out the mysteries.
Well, thank you. Gary, if it's okay, could I just share the beginning of the mystery of the Annunciation to give people an idea of what they're like? Sure, because it demonstrates how the cross is tied to these early mysteries. So as we begin this decade, we ideally would read Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38, and then I've provided a meditation that people can read. And the first part of it is, Mary recognized herself as the Lord's handmaid, doule in Greek, or slave. St. Paul applied the term in its masculine form to Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, doulao, being born in the likeness of men. Philippians 2, 6-7. The slavery borne by Jesus and Mary was not one of exterior coercion, but love. They loved the Father so intensely that their deepest human desire was for union with him. That love impelled them to embrace the divine will that the Son become man and give his life upon the cross. Hebrews 10, 5-7. So that's the first part of the meditation, and it goes on from there to draw other elements of the Annunciation and how that relates to Christ's cross.
Wow, that powerful stuff. Shane, we got about 30 seconds left before we have a hard break, but I want to make sure we let our listeners know where they can find out more about you and possibly purchase the book. Where would the best place online be to do that?
Sure. If you go to explainingchristianity.com, there's a link right there on the front page for the book. Okay. People can read the foreword by Father Calloway and links to Amazon and Barnes & Noble from there.
Awesome. Shane, I really want to thank you, and I will have that link at spiritinthemorning.com. I want to thank you for coming on, brother, and thank you for writing that book. Great job.
Oh, God bless you, Gary.
God bless you as well. Shane Kaplan, we're going to be right back with Spirit in the Morning. Don't go anywhere.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one. Defense.
Boy, don't we? We really need him. That's a great reminder of that. So I love that song, and I love that message. We certainly need the Lord. I want to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse right away, coming off of that song. We've got some news that I want to share with you, that I'm excited to be able to share with you. Today's Be Not Afraid Bible verse: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3. We are certainly blessed by Christ. That's all. He's all we need. And we are doubly blessed as Catholics to have his real presence with us every day. And we can go and see him in person. Jesus Christ. Unbelievable. Frank, with that in mind, Frank Eliason's here, our Director of Operations. You've got some incredible news. There's a news story that I want you to talk about.
It is incredible. The secular press doesn't usually cover Catholic things.
Right.
And it's unfortunate. I think we're missing faith in this world in so many ways, mm-hmm. and we were talking about that before the show.
Yeah.
But imagine my surprise when we open up the Bucks County Courier Times today. There's a lead in their community section. The lead, full cover of the community section, is about adoration.
That is unbelievable.
And, you know, there's two parishes in the Bucks County area that are celebrating adoration for 20 years. Mm. 20 years of straight adoration. St. Bede the Venerable, and as well as St. Ignatius of Antioch. 20 years. So this weekend, St. Bede's is doing something special. March 25th, around then, is when St. Ignatius is going to do something special to celebrate 20 years of adoration. We talk about adoration on the show all the time.
Yeah.
And even Catholics don't fully understand it.
Well, that's good. Yeah, and that's an important thing, because not everybody understands what adoration is. And for the benefit of anybody that doesn't understand, adoration is visiting the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, exposed where we can adore him. And that's what these adoration chapels do.
Yeah, and Monsignor Mike McCormick, pastor at St. Francis, he's quoted in here saying, they stop by after work before they go... it's a peaceful thing, and they can do it whenever they want.
Right.
That it is extraordinarily special, not only to have one parish in the area, but two very close by, that people can be with the Lord and do it any which day. It's extraordinarily special, but I also love the fact that this is being covered by the secular press in a very major article. So
In a negative way.
Not in a negative way at all.
That's what's really
exactly
nice.
Extraordinarily positive. So, you know, make sure we recognize the Bucks County Courier Times. If you're out and about today, pick one up.
Good idea.
Great way of sending a message that this is the type of coverage we want and need in this world, is supporting it.
That's right. That's right.
And so, you know, if you have the chance, pick that up today.
Yeah, definitely. And a letter to the editor about something like this very much warranted, because they took a risk to print this article.
They did. And it's incredible. There's a lot of great quotes in here. You know, it was one of those shucks, some really nice pictures, full color pictures even.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing that they did that. So, you know, maybe the world is changing for the better.
Yep.
I like to think that.
And you know, Frank, one of the problems that we sometimes can encounter in life is we become so pessimistic and almost hopeless that we look at the world and we say, what does it matter?
Exactly.
But Jesus is here. He's waiting for us. Right.
He's in everything we do, and it's delivering it, and it's doing it constantly. And even if we don't get that positive reaffirmation, it's to continue to do that, because eventually you do. And this article is a perfect example.
Right. And as long as he's with us, there is always hope. And instead of complaining about what's going on in the world, go complain to Jesus and ask him for help.
Exactly.
Right? He can do something about
it. Perfect opportunity. Go pray with him.
Yeah, that's amazing. So that's great. Excellent article. Thank you for bringing that to our attention, Frank. And go visit Jesus in your adoration chapel.
Exactly. You know? And if you're not close to those parishes, you can easily go on to masstimes.org. They do list adoration for the local parishes. So if your parish does not offer adoration, you know what? There's probably others very close to you that do.
Very good. MassTimes.org. Very good site. Frank, thank you so much for sharing that. That's a bit of good news. Well, before we sign off today and do our closing prayer, I want to share a couple of more pieces of inauguration trivia because, of course, today is Inauguration Day. Dwight Eisenhower had the strangest inauguration. I don't even know if I can read this, Dave Parker. Dwight Eisenhower had the strangest inauguration when he was lassoed by a cowboy while on the podium in 1953.
Really?
I'm sorry. I'm just reading this. I haven't fact-checked these. Have you heard that one?
Was that staged or was that a...
I do not know.
Maybe that's why security has been tighter ever since.
Whoa. That's an interesting one. Let's hope that doesn't get topped today.
Wow.
George Washington's second inaugural address was the shortest. Guess how many words?
25.
No, actually 135
okay.
words, which is still pretty short.
Yes, yes.
Very amazing. The warmest January 20th inauguration. Ronald Reagan's first time being sworn into office in... the first time Reagan was elected president in 1980, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
55 degrees at noon.
Wow.
The coldest inauguration took place 4 years after that.
Hmm.
7 degrees at noon.
Wow.
For his second inauguration.
Wow.
So there you go, some presidential inauguration trivia. We're going to have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Let's do our closing prayer now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. All-powerful Father, as now we bring you our songs of praise, so we may sing your goodness in the company of your saints forever. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning into the program. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Remember, next week on Spirit in the Morning, we got a busy week. Father Donald Calloway will be here on Monday to talk about his new book on the rosary. So we're going to explore more about the rosary on Tuesday. We got a doubleheader. Father Frank Pavone is going to be talking about the March for Life. And Raymond Arroyo will be here to talk about his life with Mother Angelica. So I can't wait for that. We've got other guests Wednesday on the program. Dan Burke will be here from the National Catholic Register. And we'll be joined live in studio by Matt Gambino from CatholicPhilly.com, and we're going to have to be on our best behavior as he observes what we're doing here.
Absolutely.
All right, so we got to put on a show, Dave.
Yeah, I'm going to have to speak true Philadelphian, I guess.
That's right. Well, you've got the weekend to study about. And then, so we've got lots more on the week as well, coming up next week as well, including live reporting on the March for Life on Friday. Oh, and I forgot, on Thursday, Bear Wozniak's going to be joining us.
Yes.
How can I forget Bear?
How can you forget Bear?
Bear was such a big part of the show when we first got started as he was on his cross-country trip. Well, now... he's stationary at the moment. He's in Cocoa Beach, Florida, so we're going to be checking in with Bear, which is always a treat. So that's what we have coming up for you. And remember, keep those emails coming. Let us know what you think about the show. Let us know what you would like to see on the show. Gary@HolySpiritRadio.org. Also, I'd love to come to speak to your parish, to give a little talk about overcoming anxiety, how to get closer to Jesus, talk about the Blessed Mother. Whatever it is, you let me know. Gary@HolySpiritRadio.org. And again, thank you for sharing the word, for letting people know about the program. We really appreciate that. Also, final thought, don't forget to pray for our country. Today's a big day as we inaugurate a new president. Instead of complaining, and this goes for all of us, instead of complaining about the world and about our country and about everything that's wrong, turn to Jesus and take advantage of Eucharistic adoration. Go see him. He's waiting for you there. A lot of times we don't get a lot of people going to adoration. So make it a point today to do that, to go visit Jesus and to let him know what concerns you and ask him for help. All right, does that sound good? We're going to be praying for you. Please pray for us. Always remember what I like to tell you. As you go throughout the day today, Jesus is with you. Turn around and say hi. Have a good weekend. God bless you.